All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 209. I am GPD. I am here in Tokyo, Japan, and I am joined by the world-renowned Wombat in New York.
Yes, in New York, letting haters hate for 5 years.
And Shipwreck, who also has haters, from Ohio.
Yes, but for far fewer years.
Right.
Far less years?
Don't worry. Less
years in there.
You got time for the haters to continue growing on you.
Yeah, plus I'm just not as annoying as Wombat either.
Well, you're,
it takes a lot to be as annoying as I am.
Well, you've been working on it for a long time. That's your thing. That's your bread and butter.
I've been honing this skill for at least, I don't know, 20 some odd years.
Exactly. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. A lot of stuff to talk about. GamesCon is what it's called. Con with an N or an M?
Com.
Oh, com.
It's in Germany. Cheapy and I were going to go, but we didn't feel weird being in crowded places where German people asked us to move in lines into small rooms.
is that why we didn't go?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. But
I've been saving that joke for a week.
Did you write it on the back of your hand or something?
Yeah.
So yeah, some news coming out of there to talk about, and I don't know. There's Shipwreck's played a lot of games. In the absence of new exciting new releases, I've gone back and started playing Battlefield Bad Company 2 again, and that's a great game. I'm a little upset that you guys never got into it. It really just like it's a really fun multiplayer game.
I played it. I just it took me a while to get the 360 version of it. I played through it on the PS3. I'll play it with you sometime.
You should. Even if I don't know anybody, I go on there, I jump into an online game. I'm okay at it. Like I usually finish towards the middle or top of the pack, which is rare for me. I guess the competition's not as cutthroat in that game. Not like, you know, Modern Warfare. But you know they're releasing a Vietnam add-on to that thing, which I guess if it's $15 or less, I'll get it. Because they sort of screwed us with all that VIP map stuff. You know how they promised you like free map packs?
Didn't the second pack VIP pack come out today? But it's not maps. Right?
It's like the fifth or sixth pack.
Oh, okay.
None of them are maps. They released the old maps for different gameplay modes. So it's kind of like a sham. I guess they want you to really buy that Vietnam pack. But I don't know. It's a great game. It's totally worth it. And I don't know. I recommend everybody pick it up. It's I'm sure you can get it fairly cheap now. What else is going on? Did both you guys see Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
No, only Shipwreck.
Oh.
I'm the only one? Is that why it only got $11 million in its
first weekend? Yeah, it didn't do very well box office-wise.
Well, didn't they show it for free at Comic-Con?
Yeah, but I mean, really, you would think that's a small percentage of America.
I guess so.
That goes to Comic-Con.
Well, yeah, that would only be like one theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But what'd you think of the movie?
I liked it a lot, actually. I think it's a fun movie with a lot of video game influence. I don't see why people aren't exactly going to see it. Like, I think Wombat should go see it. Is there a reason you haven't seen it yet, Wombat?
Yeah, I have a baby.
I knew he was going to say that.
Well, are you planning on seeing it?
I would like to see it. It's just a question of getting to a movie theater. Maybe, I mean, there's a chance that it's going to be just the two of us on Friday night. So maybe Friday night.
Okay. Yeah. Mrs. Shipwreck and I went to see it on opening night. Here in Ohio, there were, I want to say, 17 people in the theater.
By the way, I'm envisioning another Boat Crash Chronicles comic right now with you and Mrs. Shipwreck at the theater.
Okay.
Yeah, I see it. It's like there's a hole at the bottom of the popcorn bag, but instead of your Wang being in there, it's you playing a DS game. There you go. There's a comic.
Or an Atari joystick.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and Shipwreck's wearing a tuxedo again, just like when he went to that, there was one of the comics where you're,
I went to a midnight launch.
Who's the guy who writes that comic again?
Meager.
Yeah, he posts them on the CAG vlogs, and they're very good.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very funny, very cute.
But I think I had read two of the books prior to going to the movie, so I had a little bit of background into it. And I really, the books didn't click with me all the way, but I found them interesting enough that I wanted to go see the movie. And I think Gretchen actually liked it more than I did, and I liked it quite a bit. But she came out of there and like was nonstop talking about it for like 2 hours and saying how we have to get the Blu-ray and everything when it comes out. So
wow,
nice. Do you like Edgar Wright's other stuff? Have you seen Edgar Wright's other stuff?
I like Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead is awesome. Did you like Hot Fuzz?
I have not seen Hot Fuzz.
Oh, you got to see it. You would love Hot Fuzz because I know you like those 80s action movies.
Mrs. Cheapy, we stopped in the middle of that, Mrs. Cheapy. I think Mrs. Cheapy has trouble with the British accents. Maybe she's not getting all of it. Because I know I do, too. So if I'm having some trouble, she must be having a lot of trouble.
There are no British accents that I can remember in Scott
Pilgrim. No, there are none.
They're Canadian accents, but I'm not even sure that they have Canadian accents. It takes place in Canada, though.
He was in Grindhouse, too? Or he did... He was in it?
No, he did one of the trailers in between.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm looking on Metacritic, and they show all of the stuff here.
Yeah, and he did the TV show Spaced, which was a UK show.
I watched some of that, actually.
I watched that whole series. That series is awesome. Everything he's done has been I've seen except for this. So obviously there's a very good chance I will be seeing it just because of my Edgar Wright fanboyism.
Right.
It's worth seeing. I mean, the visual style is definitely neat. It's got a good pacing to it. There's all the boss battles, basically. I mean, it's got the structure of a video game. So all the boss battles are different enough. Like, all the fights are different enough that it makes it interesting. And if you like Michael Cera at all, it's typical Michael Cera type character. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that sounds good. Especially if you're listening to this show, it's pretty much a no-brainer that you're going to probably enjoy that movie.
Yeah, so go out and see it this weekend because it probably won't be in theaters next weekend.
Yeah, I read some article and they basically said that like Michael Cera just doesn't have box office appeal and that's why it's not making any money.
I don't think so. I think it's such a niche movie. Like, it's got a very small demographic that it can hit to. Like,
yeah, I don't think it has that kind of broad appeal that, you know.
It's like 35 to 20 is about its market. Like
males.
Males, yes, for the most part. Right. So it's just
I don't even know if it skews that high. It's not every male 20 to 35. Right. It's certain males 20 to 35. And it's also probably a certain male that doesn't go to the theater, to movie theaters all that often.
Right. This is the second movie I've seen all year.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know how many people torrented this movie.
Well, they're going to wait till it comes out. A proper version comes out, I'm sure.
You never know.
Anyway, okay. So I don't think it's coming out here, at least not for a long time. But I'm interested.
Me too.
So what else is going on?
Sabrina and I watched Star Wars on Saturday.
The first one? The good one?
Yes. The New Hope. Yes.
Right.
Although she's 2, so I had to be very strategic with what I let her see and let her not see.
Yeah, I know.
Because she's into peekaboo now.
Yeah.
So I would, like, whenever it's like, you know, oh, Aunt Peru and Uncle Owen are charred corpses on the ground. Peekaboo! And I would throw the blanket on her head right before that was about to be shown.
That's funny.
Yep.
Did she like it?
She loved it. She loved R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yep.
Because she knows what robots are.
Yep.
So she would stand on the edge of the bed and jump up and down and go, robots, 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 which was very cute. And when Darth Vader force chokes the dude, she held her hands to her own throat and gasped until he let the guy go.
That sounds like a healthy practice right there.
It was very funny. It was very cute.
Yeah. I know, I told you, Ty watched it the other day, and he loved it.
Yeah.
So he asked me about Chewbacca. We were, like, walking down the street, and he's like, where's Chewbacca?
That's
like,
funny.
Like, I don't know.
They're coming out. It's coming out on Blu-ray sooner than later, so they said last week.
I saw the new versions.
Yeah, just the new versions. Did you see the lightsaber clip from Return of the Jedi? Did you watch that online?
Yeah, I didn't get it. What was the deal with that?
It was Luke building his lightsaber. That's like the thing. That's, you're not a Jedi until you build your own lightsaber.
That was Luke?
Yeah.
I thought that was the Emperor building it.
No, that was Luke building his lightsaber.
Wasn't he wearing like a hood and stuff?
Yeah, that he wears when he goes into to Jabba's palace.
Oh.
On Tatooine. It takes place before he goes to Jabba's palace on Tatooine.
I watched that clip and you hear all the nerds in the background like cheering.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a pretty uneventful clip right here.
it actually isn't. It's like Luke being a badass. It's like when you see a soldier like take apart and clean his gun.
Okay.
It's supposed to have the same impact as
that. I cheer. Yeah, I always cheer when that happens.
You know what? No one asked your opinion, except for me, who asked it about 3 minutes ago.
I watched, it's so hot in Tokyo this summer that you can't even really go outside. I mean, you go outside when you have to, but we spend most of the day indoors on the weekend. And Ty just wants to watch the same movies over and over again. So I tried to get him to, I finally got him to watch Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. And I had to do the same thing. Like, cause I've seen the movie so many times. I know when all the questionable parts come up, like when they put the bug in
Chekhov's ear.
Yeah.
I can't watch that now. I'm 33.
Yeah. And then I'm like, hey, Ty, like Elvis is over there. Check that out. No, actually I fast forward. And then, then Sulu's just, on the floor, and he's like, what's happening with the man? I'm like, oh, he's sleeping. Whenever somebody dies, I'm like, oh, he's sleeping. He'll be fine later. He's like, is he okay? I'm like, yeah, he'll be back. But he is back, actually.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and watching Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time with my dad.
Right.
And at the very end, when the faces are about to get melted,
yeah.
My father would be like, okay, turn around.
That you can't blow that off with their sleeving. There's nothing.
Just turn around. Just turn around. Okay.
Yeah, that part you can't explain away.
Nope.
Yeah. That. Anyway. Speaking of Star Wars, we got a question from Kokoman. He wanted to know which series do you feel went off the rails more, The Matrix or Star Wars?
I'm gonna go with The Matrix. And let me tell you why.
All right.
Star Wars, despite your love or hate of it, it's still relevant. The Matrix, not so much.
But I don't know if that's a...
No, that's it. That's right there. Star Wars is still a billion, multi-billion dollar franchise.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Another way
is... Does anyone care about The Matrix?
Not really. But here's the thing. Star Wars made 3 good movies and 3 bad movies. The Matrix had 2 good movies and 1 bad
movie. What was the other one?
The second one was pretty good.
The second one blew asshole chunks.
But it had good fight scenes in it, though.
The second one was pretty bad.
It wasn't enough to save that movie. The only good one was the first one. The first one is an amazing movie.
Maybe half of the second one is kind of garbage, I guess. Is that the one where they're in... Which is the one where they're, inside their base and it's, there's, a rave and stuff?
The rave? That's the second one.
That's the second one.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
I told you.
But they have some good
fights. I've never even seen the third Matrix.
I saw it once and I don't even remember it.
Yeah,
I own it. I own the trilogy on HD DVD because I think that was the only way to buy the first Matrix when it came out.
I see.
Those movies are so bad that one of the directors changed his identity. That's
he became
how
a woman.
Those, that's right. Out of embarrassment.
Right. He didn't want people to find him.
Exactly.
Let's see what else. I got a lot of nice feedback from the Saints Row 3 charity auction victory. They did a post on Kotaku and a post on the Saints Row site, and a lot of people had nice things to say, and they were excited for me, and I'm excited too. In fact, I learned stuff from reading the Kotaku article. I learned that they had 200 lines of dialogue for me, but I have a feeling that 150 of those lines are going to be and stuff like that, but I don't know.
You have to wonder how many of your 200 lines of dialogue are going to be up to snuff to put in the game as well.
Exactly. But I don't know. I don't care. It's going to be a lot of fun. I was really excited to be able to win that. And, it's Saints Row 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. So this is really a great opportunity. How many people get a chance to do something like this?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
You and Matthew Perry.
Yeah. All my dreams are coming true through charity auctions.
Exactly. Wait, whatever. Everybody wins, though.
Yeah, what's next? I don't know what other things I have left, really. I don't know. I would say, hang out with the Philadelphia Flyers, but I haven't watched a hockey game in about 5 years. I couldn't even tell you who's on the team anymore. So I don't know. I want to pose a question to our audience before we move on. I'm going to go to Hawaii next month for a little family vacation. And if we have any CADcast fans who know Hawaii or who are living in the main island, whatever that's called, send me an email. Let me know what I should be doing there. You know, GPD at cheapassgamer.com.
There's a lot of places on the Food Network. They go to Hawaii all the time.
Oh.
So there's a whole bunch of places. I could probably give you a list of places that I would want to try in Hawaii.
For
so
food.
Maybe it could be, yeah, for food.
Right.
So
why was Shipwreck laughing?
Off the beaten path. He was laughing.
I was laughing
at you.
That you were. Yeah, I was laughing at you and your knowledge of Hawaii.
Oh, what do you mean?
The main island of Hawaii is Hawaii.
isn't it? It's called something else, isn't it? The Big Island, they call it, or something. Anyway,
the Big Island, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That is what it's.
Anyway,
called.
Let's.
I have to look that up now.
Yeah, it's Oahu, isn't it? It's not called Hawaii.
I thought the Big Island was. What does it matter?
Okay, nobody cares, but send me an email. Let me know if you live there and you want to tell me what I should be doing. Let's go on to some last week's feedback. We had Esteban from Grasshopper on the show. People seem to like him. Wombat, why don't you lead us through this?
Sure. And the Big Island is, I guess, just called the Big Island.
I told you.
No, it's Hawaii, and it's often called the Big Island to avoid confusion.
Aha.
There you go.
See, I was so confused.
So, and I was right. But that's shocking. Okay. X-Lax Parkax.
X-Lax?
X-Lax. X-Lax Parka X. Kudos on the show, guys. I took my copy of Raiden Fighters Aces and looked at the credits to see if Esteban's name was in it. With that said, thanks to Esteban for bringing this underappreciated franchise to the current generations of consoles, or at least have some sort of role in bringing the compilation to America. I also just picked this as my general. There was a lot of positive feedback about Esteban, and it was great having him on the show.
Yep.
So even he made a comment. Lone Esteban said, "Hey, everyone, thanks for the positive feedback on my CADcast appearance. You made me feel like a million bucks. Cheapy Wombat and Shipwreck are the bestest hosts ever. And if you really want to support them, go to homeshoppingnetwork.com and buy his guitars."
It's not that Esteban.
Oh, I thought it was.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun having him, like just having somebody in the apartment with me to do the show. Although it could have sounded better, like we shared a microphone, and I also realized that, you know, we were not only were we doing the show on a glass table, but we were facing glass doors. So I think maybe if our back was to the glass doors, it wouldn't have sounded so echoey. So maybe next time if we have somebody come on, we'll mix it up a little bit.
Solid Dragon says, "Dude, seriously, listening to this now, and what's with all the food eating and plate clanging? Were you eating during the show, or was it just because there was two of you at the mic?"
There was some. I bought some breakfast for Esteban since he had to come all the way over here, and I might have gotten hungry looking at all the food that I bought. You know, and like I said, it's a glass table; it's pretty noisy. So I apologize. I do try to run a professional shop.
I didn't even notice, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was probably like, you know, one time it happened.
Drew327 says, "I can't believe we mentioned the Mafia 2 demo and didn't talk about the boobs. I don't even know this show anymore."
I didn't even know about the boobs.
Yeah, there's a Playboy in there.
I didn't know.
In the demo there is?
Yeah, in the demo is a Playboy. You can see boobs.
You know, if I'm looking for boobs, I know where to go, and it's not going to be the Mafia 2 demo.
Ha-ha!
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, and this one comes from NickBean492. "Hey, Wombat, that's me. What do you think of the Bioshock Infinite trailer? It looks like they took my advice and changed the environment to the sky. Do you think a change for the game is going to hurt or help the franchise? But anyways, love the show and listen regularly, blah, 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 blah."
Did you mention that?
I mentioned it like a dozen times. Not the sky, but that they need to change the location.
Uh-huh.
That what Bioshock needs is to not take place underwater. My suggestions that I made was the jungle and the Arctic, I believe, were the two suggestions that I made in previous episodes.
Those locations are never used in video games.
I know.
How about a lava world?
A lava pit.
Exactly. See, I think that it would be awesome if it took place in the Arctic because you'd be fighting zombies, then all of a sudden, zombie polar bear.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I think that would work.
All right.
That would be
anything else?
No, did you guys watch it? Did you watch the?
I watched it. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no gameplay or anything.
No, no gameplay footage. Although they showed gameplay footage to the media,
right?
That we're not allowed to see,
right?
So
we'll see.
But
it
anyway,
soon.
The game doesn't come out for like 2 years. So really,
yeah, the game doesn't come out for 2 years. What's it matter if we see footage or not?
I don't know.
And frankly, why even bother like announcing this stuff? Why even have the event? Why even create that CG video for us? It's, you know, those are expensive to make. They dumped a lot of money in just to make that announcement last week.
Yeah, well, there was like they did a whole event. It was a whole day thing. Yeah.
It's just like, does it really matter? Like, is anybody putting their pre-orders down now? Like, even like the stores, are the stores placing their orders now? I mean,
I think,
they have to learn.
The only reason why you announce it now, I think, is to get past the BioShock 2, like, aftermath. Like, the goodwill that was kind of taken away from annualizing the series almost with BioShock 2. And quite frankly, BioShock 2 wasn't nearly as ambitious or as good as the first one. So I think you have to announce this one early to make people forget about BioShock 2.
I'm starting to agree with Wombat's theory. Wombat, why don't you tell people's theory about video game marketing?
I have no idea what theory you want me to tell them.
The one about the time. The time until the release.
I don't know which one you mean. You tell me what I'm talking about.
That the game doesn't exist until if it's too
late. Oh, yeah, yeah. Until the game is out in stores, it doesn't exist?
Well, maybe not that close. Maybe
but
not that
far. Until there's an actual game and we have a solid release date and the game is basically finished and we know it's finished, the game doesn't exist.
It's just like, why? I don't know.
Otherwise, I don't care. Yeah. And I feel the same way about movies these days, too. Like, yeah, I'm sure that Edgar Wright's making an Ant-Man movie, but I won't believe it until I see a foot frame of it.
Yeah, it's just it's like a weird thing. Like, they announced the RoboCop remake like a year or two ago, and now it's canceled.
So you're better off just thinking it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's like a waste of time.
Yeah, for all we know, this game may never come out.
Yeah.
It's more than possible. Is it probable? No, but it's possible.
They should have called it BioShock Forever.
AeroShock, like everyone on the internet calls it?
Yeah, it's lame.
It is lame. Led Zeppo Shock.
BioShock Cloud City, starring Billy Dee Williams.
That would be a game I'd buy on day one.
Right.
Just made a deal that's going to keep Andrew Ryan out of here for a long, long time.
I just don't like the setting, I don't think. It's not as intriguing to me.
Well,
you're the one
who said it to me, and it makes perfect sense. What's stopping someone from being underneath the city and just shooting holes in the balloons?
Well, yeah. We don't really know. You know what? I'm going with Wombat's theory, and we shouldn't even... I think we dedicated enough time talking about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it
for 2 years. Anything else, Wombat?
I think that's enough. We spent a lot of time on feedback.
We did talk about the whole Xbox Live Arcade glitch last week, and people, for the most part, seem to agree with us, right? I mean, I didn't really look through the whole
thing. And for those of you who are thinking that we're dirty hypocrites, you know what? We are. Get over it. That's my response. You think we're hypocrites? Then fine. We are. Get over it.
Right. Let's see. New releases.
I'm not a role model. Yes.
Ship?
There are a couple this week. Mm-hmm. I've played just about all of them.
Of course.
Let's start with the good, I guess. And that would be Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light for Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay.
The final game in the Summer of Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really good game. I enjoy that quite a bit. Mrs. Shipwreck and I played through the majority of it, and then I finished it up on my own. But it's a nice, fresh take on the Tomb Raider series.
Would you compare it to like a Baldur's Gate?
Well, it's got that viewpoint and everything, and it kind of controls like a twin stick shooter.
Okay.
Except you actually have to pull the trigger to shoot your shots, but you're aiming with one analog stick and moving with the other. It's kind of like Baldur's Gate. There's no like
loot?
You're not really leveling up your character or really getting new gear or anything like
that.
Oh,
you're not.
For the most part, you kind of are. There's the way the game works is you have like a list of like, I don't know, maybe 5 to 7 goals in each level, and those are things like find these 8 hidden items, or complete the level in this amount of time or score this many points in the level. And each time you get one of those goals, it unlocks either a new weapon or a new artifact that you can that kind of like adjust your stats, like you get more health or you do more damage, that type of thing. So there is a little bit of like RPG, but very, very slight on that stuff.
Okay.
And of course it's only local co-op right now, but the co-op works really well. It's like, there are parts where you definitely need the other person to help you get through and you don't feel like you're just both. It's not like the Castlevania feeling where you're just, everybody's running around doing their own thing. Like, you're definitely helping one another as you're going through the levels. If you play single player, the puzzles change up slightly because you only have one person, and but it's still good as a single player game as well. So I think it's definitely worth the $15.
You think?
Have you guys tried a demo yet or anything?
I haven't. Wombat? Yeah.
No, I'm doing the show.
Okay, dude, don't get defensive. I can
I'm
see
not
that.
Getting defensive.
I can see that comment coming out of your mouth as soon as you.
I playing. Know because you ask that every week. Hey, have you tried the demo yet? No, it's the day it came out, and I'm doing this.
You need to do what Shipwreck does, and Shipwreck wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning to.
I'm up
to play
at a
games.
Quarter to six every morning.
Well,
that's early enough.
4 a.m.
I'm not waking up at 4 a.m. for anything.
You go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, so you might as well.
I go to bed. Well, maybe I do, but that's not important.
I went to bed at 10.
They're not updated by that time in the morning, anyways.
Yeah, I went to bed at 10:15 last night.
Yeah,
just couldn't stay awake. So do you think? Here's the real question: do you think Mrs. Chibi could play this game? Like, if she dies, is it going to like ruin our game if she's dying a lot?
No, the only real punishment for death is it takes away from your score and your score multiplier.
But just hers.
Just hers. Like, it's not, both scores are added together at the end, but the scores don't, like, unlocking the goals and everything, those are just tied to one person's score. So
okay. All right.
You have to actually go through the level twice, usually, to get enough score for each player.
To unlock stuff?
Yeah, to unlock stuff for both players.
And the graphics, pretty sweet.
Yeah, good.
Looking good.
It's definitely I mean, it's like a 6 hour game at least.
Right.
That's if you just play through it once, and you're going to want to play through the levels multiple times, and they're short enough that it's not annoying to play back through them.
Excellent. And no online co-op until next month.
September 28th is when the online co-op comes.
And yeah, there's going to be some free DLC on the Xbox 360.
Right, there's additional levels coming and additional characters coming too.
Excellent. All right, cool. I'm going to check that out. Maybe play it this weekend.
Speaking of games made by Adas, didn't you play another game by them this week?
Well, published by
published, yes,
Eidos or Eidos or however
you
pronounce
that. I always
thought
it was
Eidos. I'm not sure. Square Enix. That's who owns them now.
There you go.
Yes, Crystal Dynamics made Lara Croft, and IO Interactive made Kane and Lynch 2 Dog Days. And I have my review up for that. That is a short game. That is
that's crazy.
It's crazy short. It took me 4.5 hours, but some of that was because I had to replay a level. But it's really short. I mean, for $60, and I guess they want to try to say that it's got a strong multiplayer component, but I don't think it really does. Everything is like an iteration of the same mode, and there's only six levels, like six multiplayer levels to play through online. And the frustrating thing is there's more than that, but you had to get them through like a pre-order code, or you have to buy them through DLC. Like, it actually shows you the maps and says you can't play this because you don't have the DLC.
Right.
I don't, like, the only thing that's really interesting about it is the visual style, the hyper-realistic YouTube look where it separates out the different like light spectrums or whatever. It just looks like grainy and everything. And it looks really good most of the time. But the game itself, it's like a poor man's Blood in the Sand. Like, it's
50 Cent.
Yeah. 50 Cent's definitely worth.
I have a question. So I'm looking at the box art.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which one is which? Which one's Kane? Is that the guy with the wife beater on?
Is that No, Lynch? That is Lynch.
Okay, so Kane's the guy in the back?
Yes.
What is he reaching for?
He is reaching for you? I don't know.
What is he doing in that box? I don't get it.
It is weird. I don't know what's happening there. Yeah, I mean, I played the demo. They had a demo, like if you texted something to somebody, you could get the
demo. It's like
he's
stopping you from buying the game.
He's like, hey.
You don't want
this. You sure about this?
You look at him. That's what he's saying. He's literally telling you not to buy it on the box.
I need to find a bigger picture of the box art.
He's like, whoa.
The demos are me, like, I couldn't. I don't think I really like the visual style. Like, I like what they were trying to do, but it just seemed like they were trying to, like, make something that didn't look so good passable. But for the most part, it just looked like the textures were really weak and didn't look like a, you know, a quality product. And 4 hours, I mean.
And it's really glitchy, too. Like, I know I had glitches where, like NPCs wouldn't behave correctly in the game. And there was like weird stuff would be floating in the air. Objects would be floating in the air. And like my co-op partner, he would lose, like I couldn't see his animation. So he'd just be sliding around the level on his knees. And I know other people had issues with the sound cutting out. Like all the story is told pretty much in the loading screens.
Right.
They have like one-sided phone calls where the characters are talking. And it actually works pretty well for telling the story. But I know some people have had that audio cut out completely, and so then you would have no idea what's going on.
I don't know. I kind of liked the first game. I know the first game was sort of panned by a lot of people, but I played through it. Like I thought it was fun. I didn't think it was like super innovative or anything, but I thought it was worth playing through. This one, I think I'm just gonna take a pass.
I mean, as a rental, this
it's not bad.
It's not bad. Like it's that's why I gave it a fair. And if you read my review, like, how do you give this a fair? Like, I have so many problems with it. But, like, at its core, it's like, this is an okay third-person cover-based shooter.
Yeah. Like, to me, that means, like, you can have some fun with it. It's not nearly worth full price. But it's certainly playable and not completely broken. Destructoid, Jim Sterling at Destructoid gave it a 1 out of 10. And that will probably be the last time they receive a review copy from from Eidos.
That's a little ridiculous there. 1 out of 10 for this game. Like
that means it's based to me, it means that it's completely unplayable. It has no redeeming value whatsoever.
Well, I guess I sort of see his point where this is supposed to be a marquee game for this company for the season. And if they're going to release something that honestly is not worth the price sticker that they're sticking on it, and it's not worth your time to purchase, then maybe the best way to keep the consumer from picking it up is to put that one star.
Is to not review it fairly?
I don't think it's not reviewed fairly. He's warning the consumer that this game isn't worth $60. And he's just doing it in a way that's, I think, draws attention to it. I think the words of his review are fine.
They are fine. The words of his review
actually
have a lot of the same sentiments that I have.
Exactly. It's just his score is a little shocking, but I think the score is really just to highlight the fact that you shouldn't buy this game. I don't think he's wrong.
I don't think his score matches his text.
That's you know, obviously a debate.
There's a bigger issue at stake here, though. Where the hell is the next Hitman game? Why are these guys still working on Kane and Lynch? Where's Hitman?
Didn't they make like a kid's game? What game did they make?
Yes.
They made Mini Ninjas.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
They're killing me.
Mini Ninjas.
Blood Money. That was the last one, right? Blood Money. That was a great game. I love that game. One of my favorite endings of all time. Make the new one already. It's crazy. All right. Any other new releases?
Yes, one other one, Ease 7, which is a PSP RPG.
All right.
So have you decided, will I like this game or not?
I don't know. It's odd. Like, the game starts off and it places you in a town and really doesn't tell you what to do. It just tells you what the talk button is. And so what the game wants you to do is talk to everybody in the town before it gives you a cutscene that says you can progress. But it doesn't really tell you that. So you're just wandering around. And I wandered around in this town for probably the first 40 minutes of the game, just not understanding what in the world I was supposed to be doing. And it ended up, there was just this one guy that was hidden away in a corner that I hadn't talked to. And there's like 25 people or so that you need to talk to that are just like telling you inane stuff about the town. And like, I guess they're trying to get you the story across in this way. Hmm. So after the rough start, then it actually gets to be a pretty fun, like hack and slash action RPG. I don't know if you would like it particularly because it doesn't have customization for the most part. Like you get different weapons and you can put different armor on and stuff, but it doesn't show up on your character.
Boo to that.
Yeah, that's why I don't think you'll like it that much. But I do have an extra code to give away, so we'll give it away to a listener if they post in the show thread. But I like it so far. I'm about 7 hours into it.
Now, is this PSP Go compatible, this code, Jeff? Because I know most of our listeners own that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it came out in both UMD and PSN formats. But it's good. I like it so far. It's got a nice charm to it, and I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with it. I'll write a review for it.
Sweet.
But that's it for the new releases.
All right, then. Let's move on to some shopping and CAG news. A couple deals that you should know about. GameStop's having a buy two, get one free on used games and accessories. Actually, it's only GameStop.com. It's not good in store. It ends on August 21st, and you use coupon code B2G1FREE. And Best Buy is having a bunch of unadvertised sales. They've got Bayonetta for $20 and Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, which I know you guys both really liked, for $20. They're also
Definitely pick that up for 20.
They're also blowing out DJ Hero. You can get the bundle with the turntable for $40, or if you just need like an extra turntable, those are only $20. And a bunch of other stuff going on there. Hit the front page of cheapassgamer.com. You will see that. And we're still working on the iTunes integration on CAG. It's taking a little longer than expected. But we're working on it. Super Programmer John's working on it. And let's see. We've got some coupon codes from our friends at GoDaddy.com. In fact, listener Wade Slave writes in and he said he used the CAG domain code today on GoDaddy to register his name on as a website, and he appreciates the savings.
Keep talking. I'll be back in about 4 seconds.
What happened?
Nothing.
Oh. He says, if you want a good incentive to get listeners to register a domain and use the codes, here's one. Just imagine how embarrassing it would be if your fullname.com bounced to a depraved hardcore porn site. If somebody like my boss or a prospective employer Googles me, I definitely don't want a website about bestiality to be the first thing that shows up. This is one reason I already own a couple of the domains that are variations of his real name. It's actually an interesting point because I do get messages from people once in a while to like clean up their posts on CAG because they say like they have a job interview and they're afraid like if their username is too close to their real name that the prospective employer might Google them and find out some bad stuff. But yeah, don't register your real name anywhere if you care about stuff like that. And I guess that's what employers do now is they Google you. Anyway, here are some coupon codes to be used at GoDaddy.com. 10% off any order, CAG10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with coupon code CAGDOMAIN at GoDaddy.com. What are those noises going on?
That's the GoDaddy singers.
What is that? Sabrina's piano?
It's a toy that it's this creepy looking, I think it's supposed to be a bear. And when you squeeze it, it sings and it freaks me out.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that was great.
Yes, that was brilliant. I'm glad you took the time to go get that.
I can hear all the people signing up right now.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I figured it was better than me humming for one episode.
I don't know. People like the humming. Okay. Let's move on to multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. I downloaded the NHL 11 demo, and I like it.
Is it hockey?
It's hockey. They've added this ultimate team mode, which it's the same thing that they have in Madden, right? With the cards.
Yeah, it's a good mode.
It's cool. Like you can make your own team. So you create a team, and they deal you like a deck of cards, and that's your lineup. And they also give you like training cards that you can use to sort of add statistics onto these guys. And then you use your team to play in different tournaments if you want to play single player. And I think you can take it online too and play multiplayer. And when you win, you get more cards and you get to increase the talent of your team. And you can play.
I'm assuming it has the cards for like the stadium or the arena or whatever.
Right, and you can unlock jerseys to use for your team and I guess equipment too. I'm not really sure. The demo's pretty good. It lets you check out the ultimate team mode and it lets you play the last period of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Now, knowing that people are going to be able to buy these stats,
does it hurt
your opinion of the game and your chances of playing it online?
It does, sort of, because I have a feeling like the demo is going to be more generous with the points than the actual game. Because you seem to earn a lot of training cards in the demo, but I wonder if the full release is going to be so generous, because they're going to want you to pay to buy the power-ups. But you can play single player as well. It seems like there's plenty of tournaments you can play in. So if you want to avoid that stuff, just play single player. They really do have like the hockey gameplay down really well, but it's always like the little things that they seem to screw up. I was telling Shipwreck the other day that, so you know, like they try to do like a TV style presentation and they show the guys, you know, in between breaks in the during the breaks in the action, they show the players moving around and they show the stats up on the screen. For some reason, they decided to use like the smallest font in the history of video games. And they show the stats for about 2 seconds. Basically, it's impossible to read. I don't know. It just seems like stuff like that is so easy to fix. How that stuff slips through, I don't know. But still, I want to get it. I want to check out this ultimate team mode and see if it's really good. But I got a feeling it's going to, because it's the first time they're doing it, it's going to be plagued with like really annoying things. And one of the other annoying things is you can't auto-edit your lines. You have to do it automatically. It'd be nice if they just automatically filled out your lines and then you could edit them from there. But I don't know. It seems like there's going to be a lot of little issues, but still looks like a quality product. Wow. We're going to table this embargo discussion for another time.
Probably a good idea. I had enough of it on Twitter this last week anyway.
People yelling at you.
And I didn't even bring it up. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Let's see.
We'll talk embargoes sometime in the future.
Okay. Yes. What's this, Wombat? Why don't you, since this is your time to shine,
I read this this morning and I thought it was really interesting. Just the rise and fall of real-time worlds, basically. And how it fell apart. And, I mean, the three of us played APB at E3.
Yep.
And I don't think any of us were really all that impressed with it.
No.
And it was a very ambitious idea, the sense of an MMO shooter. But it seems to have already been considered a great failure, and Real-Time Worlds has gone into, what is it called now? Administration, which is the UK version of Chapter 11. And I just think it's, this article that's on gamesbrief.com kind of goes into why they failed. And what went wrong, and it's a really interesting read, and it's mostly about how they just didn't really have the business model put together for it. And, that they think the game may have taken too long, and that since they announced this game, games that had come out, Grand Theft Auto 4, Modern Warfare 2, and games that have failed, like Tabula Rasa and Auto Assault, they didn't really learn from what was going on at the time they were making it. It's just that they decided to make it and they just, almost with blinders on, just went ahead and made this game.
You've got to be pretty ballsy to make an MMO at this point and expect like you're not going to fail. It's really hard. I mean, how many have succeeded?
There's World of Warcraft.
Right. And I get, really. There's probably Toontown. A couple other... There's probably a couple other ones, but that are
profitable. Not really of our area of expertise.
No, though. But it's just like really more fail than succeed. And, you know, it requires a lot of effort. Unlike a game where you develop the game, publish it, and okay, maybe you make some DLC for it. Maybe you, patch it once or twice. But you're basically done once the game comes out. With an MMO, you're expected to keep working on it.
And this wasn't really an MMO. Like, that, they right. positioned it as one, but it was really just online multiplayer and a shooter.
Right. It was a risky proposition. They probably would have just been better off making Crackdown 2.
The game has lost.
I mean, that sold like crazy, and they developed, or they didn't develop it. I don't remember the name of the studio now.
Ruffian.
Ruffian, yes. Ruffian developed it in like 8 months, and that sold millions.
Did it really?
I don't know, millions, not yet, but it was like, it was like the number one seller in the UK for 2 weeks, and it made the top 10 in the NPDs here in the US. And
it did. Good for them.
Yeah, it'll be a million seller.
I finished it, by the way, last week.
Oh, good for you.
It wasn't great.
No, it really wasn't. But
it was fine.
APB, though, lost $100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had two big mistakes here from my perspective. Mm-hmm. One was telling Microsoft, no, we don't want to make Crackdown 2.
Right.
The second one is making APB not for consoles. Like, I just don't understand how you...
Right.
You completely turn your back on consoles when you made all your money off of Crackdown 1 and, like, the GTA games.
And not only that, maybe a game like that could have been a success on consoles.
It could have been, because it's going to be unique there.
Right.
As a non-MMO type game, as a pay one price, $60, online, highly customizable, what's the clan-oriented urban shooter, I don't think there is one.
Yeah, and, you can release a lot of, like, DLC nonsense, all the stuff that we hate, but people would probably pay for it if the game was decent enough. I don't know. By the way, I looked up on VG charts. It says Crackdown 2 sold, 570,000. I don't know how accurate that is.
That's not bad for so far, though.
But for a game that was developed in less than a year, that's pretty great. That's great.
It's better than APB, which, according to this article, sold 15,000 copies.
Oh, my God.
15,000?
Could that be right?
I don't know. It's just looking. It says, oh, no, here it is. Year to date. Well, I don't know. I mean, here we go. Here are the sales figures for U.S. for July 2010. Units, 4,361. Year to date, 2010, 9,181. According to the Games Brief article. Wow. It had a Metacritic score of 58, so it didn't even review well. And it didn't sell well.
Oh, well. Well,
and, you
it
know,
sucks.
It's just, you know, yeah, it does suck. I mean,
too bad.
And again, the person says it in the article also. It may sound like we wanted it to fail, but we don't want it to fail. No one wants people to be out of jobs or to lose $100 million. It's just a question of, game development cycles and how, and in that time span, does a changing market affect how you develop a game? And do you have to change your entire game if the market changes it during your development process?
Yeah. Let's see, what else we got in this section? Oh, did you see the new Rock Band? They released all the Guitar Hero, what the hell is it called? Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock track list, and they released a bunch of tracks for Rock Band 3. Rock Band 3 ones look a lot better, I think. I don't know if you guys looked at that.
I don't know if I care.
Werewolves of London?
I just don't know if I care.
I care about Werewolves of London.
I'm glad you do.
Yeah. Anyway, some good stuff.
Yeah, it's got Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I want to play some Elton John on piano.
Sure. Radar Love.
Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots Part 1. That's a good song. I'll play that.
All right. Anything else? We should move on to Sony, I guess. So Gamescom, there's not a lot of news coming out there, but I guess the two biggest things. Was Sony released their Move bundle, their console Move bundle, $400 gets you a 320 gigabyte console and PlayStation Move and the Move Sports Champions. I mean, Sports Champions. But it doesn't get you the navigation controller. It just comes with the with the camera and the...
Nothing comes with the navigation controller.
What are they doing?
I have no idea. I don't understand why you wouldn't bundle it in there. Like, that's the preferred experience. Like, sure, you can use the PS3 controller as the navigation controller. But the preferred method of doing this is obviously
the full set.
The navigation. The full set.
And do you need 320 gigs at this point? I mean, wouldn't you rather have less gigs and the controller?
Yes.
I mean, it seems excessive. Yeah. It seems like, I don't know what they're thinking. But anyway, it's going to be on sale in September. September 19th in the US and the 15th in Europe. $400. And
That's less than a month away.
Yep,
and we'll have a move.
Yep. I won't have it, but somebody will have it. I mean, maybe I would get it just to get, I don't know. I just have no interest. Mass Effect 2 is coming out for the PS3 in January of next year. And Mass Effect 1 is not coming out. Ever.
Mass Effect 1 is a Microsoft game.
Right. Lick Chan asks, what do you think about Mass Effect 2 coming to the PS3 without Mass Effect 1? Do you think PS3 only players are missing out? Wombat, what do you say?
No. How's that? Mass Effect 2 is a great game, and it stands on its own.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a new intro that'll explain everything in a way that I'm sure if anyone can explain something in 15 minutes that makes sense to start off Mass Effect 2, I think BioWare can do it. I think our good friend Christian Norman can do it. I have complete confidence and faith that they'll figure out a way to do it that'll make you happy, especially if you've never played Mass Effect 2 before, because if you haven't, you're missing out. And this is great news for everybody. There's people that are unhappy about this. I don't understand why you'd be on, how dare they release a great game for both consoles. Like, it devalues the game somehow. It doesn't. It makes the game more valuable because now more people have experienced it. And if more people experience it and love it, then they'll make more of them. And the more of them they make, the happier I am. And when I'm happy, everybody wins. You see how
Think it's going to sell on PS3? Think it's going to do okay?
I don't know if it needs to sell a lot. It just needs to
I mean, but I'm just saying that you brought up that argument there that it's going to sell more copies. I mean, we're already getting Mass Effect 3.
Well, it's going to sell more copies in the sense that people who can't buy it already, who want to, will be able to buy it now if it's only on the console if they only have a PS3.
I mean, I hope it does well on PS3. Yeah, I just don't know.
I think there's potential. I mean,
traditionally, I could see selling.
I could see 100,000 copies being a success for a port of a game that's a year old.
You think that's justified to try to sell the Mass Effect 3 when it comes out then?
To sell Mass Effect 3 when it comes out, if they can release it for both consoles at the same time, at that point, there's potential for it to sell 500,000 copies. And sell 1,000,000 copies in a month as opposed to 500,000 copies in a month, which would more than pay for the port of Mass Effect 2.
And to address the fact that the first game is not coming to PS3, you know, the second game's better. And it's not like with movies where you almost always need to see the original before you see the sequel. That's seldom the case with video games, and almost always the sequel is better with video games because they make a lot of improvements and take out the annoying stuff. So I think it really is not a big deal. In fact, you know, almost always when somebody asks me with a video game, like, "Oh, I didn't play the first one, can I just go right to the second one?" The answer is almost always yes.
Yeah, and the PS3 version is going to come with all the DLC on it. And, you know, so yeah, there's going to be, I mean, they haven't announced the price yet. I think especially if they release it at a discounted price, I think there's like a lot of value there.
Sure. What else we got in Sony? The world of Sony.
No More Heroes is coming out for the PS3 with DualShock and motion control. So, you know, thanks Esteban for not telling us this while you were on our show last week.
He hinted at it.
I know.
He basically did tell us.
I know. He didn't tell us about Suda51's new game.
Oh, it's a shmup, right?
It's a shmup. It's coming out for the XBLA and the PSN.
Excellent.
So lots of big news that coming out of Grasshopper Manufacture. So
that's
good news.
All right. And what else? Oh, Gran Turismo. is adding course creation and kart racing. I mean, can't they just release the game ready and stop adding stuff to it?
Didn't they say it's coming out, what is it, September 3rd or 5th, depending
November,
on your...
November 2nd and November 3rd, depending November. On your region.
Ah, okay.
So it's coming.
It is coming.
I can't believe it's actually going to come out this year, but...
I wonder if anybody cares. I mean, I guess it'll sell a boatload.
Oh, yeah, it'll sell well.
It'll sell well. I mean, I don't care personally, but whatever.
All right, let's move on to Microsoft.
I played more Monday Night Combat. I wrote a review for it. It'll probably be up on the site in the next day or two. It's just...
excellent.
Yeah, but I wrote that review. I finished it this morning, so...
The review. So you're enjoying the game? You want to give us a sneak preview?
Yeah, I mean, I like the game a lot. I played a good chunk of it online on Saturday night with some folks from Player One, Player One Podcast. Mm-hmm. Shout out to CJ and the gang. And had a really good time. I just wish there was a little more variety, a little more customization. I find that there's... You know, I talk a lot about, you know, the idea of the carrot in a video game. The reason to keep going is because you want that next thing. It's that, you know, the loot idea. This game, you know, you earn money with each round. But as far as things to actually buy with that money, most of the stuff is just for that round. You know, you can upgrade your character, but it's all within that game that you're playing. And once you start a new game, you're starting from scratch again. So you kind of see everything your character can do within one game.
You can't unlock stuff for you. You can't buy stuff for your character that's persistent.
There are custom classes, but there's really not that much customization in the sense that it kind of has like perks similar to Call of Duty, mm-hmm. but they're not all that unique. Or, you know, it's like faster reload, extra health, stronger armor.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really change.
That kind of makes the game more balanced, though, right? It makes it easier to balance. You're not going up against guys with better gear.
Well, I think, you know, even certain cosmetic changes, fine. Then what about, you know, get to levels? Then what's the reasoning from going from level 1 to level 20? Just to say you did? I mean, why do I want to be level 20? How about a new hat then? Something.
Yeah, even if it's just cosmetic.
Some sort of cosmetic change. Some reason, like, I think Rainbow Six did it really well. They had like 3,000 different pieces of armor. In different combinations that you could use, where you could be, you know, bright orange with different elbow pads and knee pads than the guy playing with you. It's just something that a reason to keep going from level to level. Because as that game stands now, I mean, yeah, it's an XBLA $15 game. It's not, you know, a full retail release, but just something to keep it going. I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to Brink, because I think it does address that issue well. You know, watching more videos of that this week. But, yeah, but all in all, I mean, yes, it is a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm nitpicking because we're doing the show, but in my review, I talk about how much I actually do enjoy playing the game.
Cool.
The single player is a unique experience from the multiplayer, and you can actually play the single player with other people, which actually is fun as well. So, yeah.
And not single player.
And not single player, yes. It's don't be like that.
I had to edit your review, so
I know.
Let's see what else. So Microsoft announced Xbox Live for Windows Phone, whatever Windows 7.
They did that about 5 years ago, didn't they?
Didn't
they announce that?
Yeah, remember you could
live
you could,
anyway.
Forza cars now? Are we doing that?
Right, you could make your own cars on Forza.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that never happened.
I like it.
That may have come up on the mic. I apologize.
What was that?
I pooted.
Oh. You farted?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Maybe somebody can make something out of that. I detect a YouTube video.
I admitted it, at least.
Yeah. But that's the GPD promise. If I fart during the show, I will tell you.
So what is Xbox Live on Windows?
Well, the big thing that they were... Well, you know, it's like friends lists and all that and achievements.
Okay, I have that on my iPhone.
Achievements. But here's the thing. Here's what they need to do. First of all,
am I getting achievements on my phone?
You are.
For what?
For games. They're releasing games on it that use Xbox Live. But here's the thing. Like,
that sucks.
Does it tie into your main GamerScore account? That's what I don't understand.
I guess I don't care because I'm not comparing my score against other people's. It's just a way to track what I've played. Like, that's the best part about the whole achievement system.
I mean, I could see this being a big success if they did this on iTunes. Like, no, I don't think anyone's really going to buy a Windows 7 phone to get Xbox Live on their phone. But I think people would buy games on iTunes if they could get achievements on their main Xbox Live account.
Yeah, but you're asking people to use an Apple platform. You're asking Microsoft to use an Apple platform.
Well, they're a publisher, too.
That would be like, you know, I really like Burger King's burgers, but it would be so much better if they sold McDonald's French fries.
But the difference is, as a publisher, Microsoft could make money off of it.
Yeah, but it's more of the, you know as well as I do that Microsoft is in the business of putting other people out of business.
I know, but they should be in the business of making money.
But they're getting, not. You
know, I know.
So what about my Zune? Am I going to get live on my Zune too, or what?
I don't know. But they demonstrated, if you go to the Xbox 360 dashboard, they have a video about Halo Waypoint on the Windows phone. And I dare you to watch it without getting douche chills. It's one of the douchiest videos I've ever seen. It's just, it's almost painful to get through.
Do I have to turn up my collar and put another collared shirt over that shirt and turn up that collar in order to watch the video?
And then put a members only jacket on. Ugh. It's pretty bad. But I don't know. And I don't know. I don't think anyone's buying a Windows 7 phone for these things. But like I said, if it was on iTunes, people would buy those Microsoft games just to get the nerd points. I can guarantee it. All right, let's move on. We have nothing for Nintendo this week, huh? Not a thing.
I'm not doing a whole lot right now.
I played more Dragon Quest. Does that count for anything?
It counts a little bit. They just seem to be selling less. I saw the MPDs came out. We didn't put out the MPDs.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about those. The Xbox sold more than any other console.
For the first time in a long time.
Yeah. I think, was it ever or just in a long time?
It was in the last couple of years, I think. I'm trying to find it.
I didn't realize the 360 had ever outsold the DS.
Hold on.
Maybe it had. I don't know. It's been a while. But 360 did great numbers with the new Slim. Yep. And all the software sales kind of sucked.
Yep, NCAA Football 11 was the big one. They sold over 500,000. They sold over 600,000 copies with on both platforms. And Crackdown 2 was number 3.
And Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is back in the top 10.
They're number 10. It's, I don't know. It is what it is.
It sure is. Well, yeah, those sales numbers weren't particularly strong in July.
Right.
For anything.
Right. Right.
And boy, the PSP just needs to die.
They need to shoot it?
Yeah, they need to take it out to the back and put it out of its misery. I can't believe they didn't announce a PSP2 at Gamescom. I guess Tokyo Game Show?
Yeah. That's pretty much in the bag, right?
Yeah, like it has to be. A lot of people thought they were going to do it at Gamescom because it's technically a bigger show.
Yeah, but maybe Sony Japan wants to be the ones to announce it.
Who knows?
Yeah. And the new PS3 dashboard that never happened. That I said it was coming at E3. I'm postponing it to TGS.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. Do we move on to the CAG bag?
Sure.
Tweets? Show us your tweets.
Let's do it.
All right. I didn't even realize this, and I don't know. Did you? MSU Hitman writes in, and I'll paraphrase his question here. Well, or not. What do you think of Kotaku's decision to not do a post on the NPD numbers each month? They haven't done one since April. Or since the April numbers came out. Did you even notice that? I didn't realize that was happening.
I feel like we talk about Kotaku every episode, and I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care what Kotaku does.
Why would you not post it, though?
Who cares? Are you the editor-in-chief of Kotaku?
No, I'm just curious. Like, why would any site not post it?
Because every other site does. Because they're, love them or hate them.
I don't know if
them.
That's a good reason, but...
They do their own thing. They have their own unique articles.
Maybe they're not allowed to do it.
Who knows? No, I think anyone's allowed to do it.
Once it gets out there? I don't know. It seems like they post everything, so why would they not post that?
But why? Maybe they just don't feel like they need to. Maybe it isn't, maybe they noticed... Maybe they noticed in January, February, and March, and April... that it was getting a low amount of views and not many comments, and it wasn't worth posting for them
copying
anymore.
Copying and pasting?
Yeah.
It wasn't worth the 30 seconds.
It wasn't worth the 30 seconds to copy and paste it because it wasn't getting the kind of page views
I can't
that
believe
warranted
it.
The amount that you would have to pay the person that posts the article.
I don't believe that.
You never know. Who knows? Well, you got to think of it this way. You know, for every, let's assume, let's make up a number for their, you know, that they're charging. Let's say they charge, I don't know.
Who charge?
Kotaku, Gawker Media.
Right.
Let's say they have a flat media rate, run of network, $10 CPM. So that means that a thousand
this is just fascinating our listeners.
A thousand people would need to read that article for Kotaku to make $10. And if less than 1,000 people are reading it, and they're making less than $10 on that article, and they have to pay someone $20 just to cut and paste it, it's not worth them posting it.
I would think that would be one of the most popular things they post as an MPE.
I don't know. You're asking me why they may not do it. I'm giving you a theoretical reason.
That theory sucks.
That theory does suck.
You asked, I gave one.
That's a shitty theory.
Then don't ask the question.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, it got 14,000. I looked it up, 14,000 views. Okay, let's move on. I don't know the answer. It is a weird thing. Maybe they forgot. I'm going with they forgot. That's a better theory. Wiltron just wants to know if we have any tips for podcasting. In the CAGcast forum on cheapassgamer.com, there is a sticky thread there that tells you how we do the show every week and gives you tips. So because I get this question comes up a lot. So just check, if you actually just Google CAGcast production tips, I'm sure you could find it. We do a lot of, there's a lot of Q&A in there and good tips for everybody. Let's see. Okay, Fjordson. Hey guys, this past show you were talking with Esteban how Christina Norman reached out to a few communities for direct feedback on the next Mass Effect game. I was wondering what you thought about the situation with Infamous 2's main character, Cole. After Sucker Punch showed off the game at E3, there were lots of people who were upset at how he looked and sounded, since it was a big departure from what he was like in the first game. Since then, Sucker Punch has gone back and altered Cole to make him more similar to what he was like in the first game. What do you think of this? Has Sucker Punch fallen into a trap? Wombat, I'm sure you have something to say about this.
I think that they did the right thing by changing him back. If you want to create a franchise, you can't drastically alter the main character from the first game to the second game unless it's a new main character. You know, like Dead Rising? Yeah, that's the game I want to say. They have a completely different main character, so in that sense, it makes sense. Even Dragon Age, there's going to be a completely different main character. But if it's the same person, but you change him, but I'm still supposed to believe that it's the same person, it's kind of weird for something that isn't really a long-established franchise. It's not The Legend of Zelda, where you're changing his look because the technology has changed. This is, you know, Infamous, and it's Infamous 2, and you're changing the character because you decided to change the character, and it's just kind of weird. So I can understand why people were upset, and I definitely can understand why Sucker Punch would want to change it back after the negative feedback.
I think what happened was that I think they thought that maybe people really didn't have any, like, prior connection to Cole, because he's kind of boring. Like, he's, as a character model, he's got that little messenger satchel bag, but other than that, I just, in my head, I can't really think of what he looks like. He's just, like, got short hair. That's it.
Short hair
and
a bag.
Short hair and a bag. That's my, what Cole looks like. And he's white, I think. He's Caucasian of some sort.
Yes.
And so I think they tried to spice him up a little bit. I liked the new character design. It made him like stand out a little bit, but I guess you got to go with what the fans want. And I think they just underestimated that people really liked what he looked like before.
Yeah. I think it's never really a bad thing to take good feedback from your community, the people who are giving you money, you know, can't be bad. So yeah, good for them for listening.
It does show a little bit of like, it's good in one way, but it also shows that they're not like sticking to what their artistic like
vision
of what the game was.
Sometimes the visions aren't great though.
But by changing it in the first place, they're going back on their artistic vision from the first game.
Sure.
Yeah. See? So there.
Why don't you pick a question, Wombat, and lay it on us?
Well, actually, I kind of like this question because it's somewhat relevant. Jackhole85 says, "Hey, Wombat, I remember last year you said that Dragon Age could be your 2010 Fallout 3. What happened to that? Dragon Age has come out with tons of DLC and a full expansion. Have I ever finished it?" And the answer is no, I have not. I barely played much of it at all, as far as I could even remember. And just this morning, I was talking to our good friend Shipwreck, who's also on this show. And he was he said that if I started playing Dragon Age again, he would start playing Fallout 3 again. And I said that that was a deal. So I think starting tomorrow, I may pop in Dragon Age and start all over again from the beginning if Shipwreck does the same with Fallout 3.
I guess I can do that.
See?
So I'll make some time for Fallout 3.
So
I got out of the vault before.
Yeah, I know. That's not very far. Right? Yeah, that's
near the end.
Yes, that's near the end. So, Cheapy, what's your game going to be?
Oh. I don't know.
You need to find one. We're playing Games from the Past. That's what it's called.
I never finished Fallout 3.
It's a new feature. It's called Games from the Past.
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that.
You can get back. You don't need to come up with a decision right now, but you should play something along with us.
There's got
to
be something you started and didn't
Fallout 3.
Finish.
So you could do Fallout 3. There's no rule that says we each have to do something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we sure there isn't?
I don't think so. Let me check the bylaws.
I don't even know if I remember how to play that.
Start over from the beginning.
No, I'm not doing that. I got pretty
I know
far.
I had to start over from the beginning because I spec'd my character all goofy because I had been playing Fable 3. Or not Fable 3, Fable 2. And so I had this whole idea of I was going to influence people and like make good moral choices and
right,
everything.
That's lame.
So yeah, my character, he doesn't have any gun skills for the most part. He just like, he's really nice and charismatic or whatever.
That works well in the game. You don't need gun
skills. That's what I found out. And that's why I stopped playing.
Right.
Hey, Rabbit Bear, let's sit down and get a cup of coffee.
Right. let's see what else we got here. Spartan VO7 wants to know when we think the next generation of consoles will release. He also says, and what year do you think they'll be announced? They're going to be announced the same year that they come out, I'm sure. Let's see. Well, Xbox came out in 2005 and Wii and PS3 came out in 2006. Usually it's a 5-year cycle, but obviously not this year. Do you think next year they'll come out?
I say 2 years.
No.
2 years.
I think they'll be announced in 2012.
And come out in 2012?
That's what I said,
yeah.
I would say that, but I think it also has a lot to do with this how well Kinect does.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying 2012, because it's going to bomb.
Yeah. But I was reading online that there was
plans up a little bit.
Some analyst said that Kinect was going to sell 4 million copies in 2010.
Right, I liked your tweet. And then he said, also breaking, analyst looks for new job.
In 2011.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to John TV. He really liked that comment.
Oh, there you go.
That's John Riccardi.
I do these things to make him laugh.
Yeah, he likes you.
I like him too.
Good.
We should get together for a burger.
I would
sometime.
Say 2013 is probably when we're going to see new.
Whoa! So, what is that? 8 years. So the Xbox 360 lifespan will be 8 years, and will they be staggered releases again? Will the Xbox be first again?
I think they will. Well, actually, I think that Nintendo is going to come out first, and then the 360. So maybe
Nintendo.
The new Nintendo in 2012.
And it was Colin Sebastian of Lazard Capital Markets that says that Kinect will sell 4 million devices in the fourth quarter of 2010 alone.
Wow. That's a lot.
Is that worldwide or just
I don't
US?
Think it specifies. I would say probably mostly US because, I mean, the 360 sells best in the US. But, yeah, I don't know.
Is he talking about shipped? There's going to be 4 million of them shipped to Walmart?
He says sold in the fourth quarter.
Sitting in Walmarts?
Yeah, sitting in Walmarts. He says sold. That's what he says.
Right. So over $500 million in revenue from that. That's a lot. That's a lot of cake right there. All right. Anything else we need to answer here? Are we done? Are we out?
I think we're done.
I think we're done. This is a slow week.
Yeah.
Not much going on.
No. That's awesome. Well, let's remind everybody to please follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/EBD, Twitter.com/Wombat5277, Twitter.com/Shipwreck. And also video game deals and UK game deals on Twitter. I put up a new video on my YouTube page, youtube.com/GPD. You can see the annoying sound trucks of Japan. Did you watch it?
I saw you put it up there, but I don't think I'm going to watch that one, no.
You're not, huh?
No, I have no interest in sound trucks.
You don't even know what they are.
You talked about it last week on our show.
Oh, you listened to that?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I was here when you talked about it.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
You said it to me. So when you say things to me, I remember what you talked about. It's this thing that I do. It's called listening.
I thought you didn't do that.
No, actually. I really don't. But don't tell anyone. That's the secret of the CADcast.
Yeah, nobody listens.
Nobody listens. We kind of zone out until someone stops talking, and then we talk about something else.
Right.
But yeah, people like that, though.
Well, if you're a listener, you can review us on iTunes, please.
I've been watching a lot of good TV lately.
Like what?
That was a joke. But actually,
because you weren't listening?
Because I wasn't listening. That was the joke. You're supposed to laugh at that point.
Are you watching True Blood?
I don't have HBO. I've been watching a lot of Burn Notice and White Collar. White Collar is really good. If you're not watching White Collar, you should start.
What's that about?
White Collar, it's Matthew Bomer, who I could tell you a story about because I once put my foot in my mouth and when I met him for the first time, but that's neither here nor there, is an art thief that teams up with the FBI agent that caught him as part of his probation, and they solve crimes in New York City.
Hmm.
So they're, you know, one guy's kind of frumpy.
Sounds
and the other
plausible.
Guy's, yeah, it's not, no, there's nothing plausible about it, but that's what makes it fun. But it's really cool. But Matthew Bomer was the second choice to play Superman in Superman Returns, and it was when I was working for the agency, and I got a call from one of the agents. I said, and it was before we knew he wasn't going to get the part. And he goes, hey, I think the guy who's going to play Superman is going to be Matthew Bomer. And I said on speakerphone, not knowing, that's never going to happen. They're going to go with the other guy. I read it online already, not knowing that Matthew Bomer was sitting in that office on speakerphone.
Dope!
And then I met him, and I felt like a complete jerk. And now he's on a show that I watch every week religiously. So if you're listening, Matthew Bomer, I apologize for putting my foot in my mouth. And
he's
and you're more talented than the guy who actually got the part.
And I would also like to apologize because I farted during that story.
Excellent. At least you were listening.
It smells bad also.
Yeah.
I'm pretty backed up.
Awesome.
So yeah, review us on iTunes. GoDaddy.com. We've got the coupon codes for your domain registration and web hosting needs. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations, CAG domain. I think that's it. We're going to say goodbye. See you next week. Shipwreck, do you want to fart before the show ends?
I was trying to squeeze one out, actually. Like, I really wanted to have us all three fart on audio, but I don't know. I had a rough day.
There you go. I just did it for you.
There you go. That one counts for me.
All right.
Bread's
done. It was a farting gangbang.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Excellent. Well, something to look forward to next week. Thanks for listening. Hi, Ty. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Do you know where we're going today?
Odaiba.
Right. And how do we get to Odaiba?
Monorail train.
Monorail train. Do you like taking the monorail?
Hi.
Yes?
Yes.
Why do you like the monorail?
I like it.
Why?
I ride it.
You want to ride it?
Yes.
Oh, why do you want to ride it? Huh? How come? Why? You don't know why, do you? You just like it?
Yes.
Yes, you like it?
Yes.
What do you like better, fire trucks or monorails?
Monorail train.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like better, police cars or a monorail?
Monorail train.
Is there anything that you like better than a monorail?
Train.
No? Nothing? You like monorail the best?
Yeah, monorail.
What about the monorail song?
Yeah.
Do you like this monorail song from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Monorail.
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 Monorail.